is the very auspicious celebration of the disappearance of Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, one of our most worshipable Vaishnava Acharyas. He is the author of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, which is one of the great authorized biographies of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The niece of Srivas Thakur's wife's name was Narayani. Narayani is the one that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would personally feed his Mahaprasad with his own hands. Once in the house of Srivas, Lord Chaitanya, in order to demonstrate his supreme potency, he told little Narayani, who was at the time only 4 years old, chant the holy names of Krishna and weep in ecstatic love. This innocent little girl, upon the Lord's order, started chanting the name of Krishna. She fell to the ground and manifested genuine symptoms of ecstatic love for Krishna, weeping and weeping and weeping. Narayani gave birth to Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur in an area of Navadvip called Mamgachi. Narayani became a widow and her little baby child, who was Vrindavan Das Thakur, was brought up mostly by that great compassionate Vaishnava, Srila Vasudev Dutt. He was educated by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's most intimate loving associates. And Lord Nityananda Prabhu himself personally showed his causeless mercy to Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur and taught him the glories of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Later, Janava Devi, the eternal consort of Nityananda Prabhu, accepted Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur with the same love and affection as her own child. She showered her mercy on him. And it is told how when she went on procession with many devotees to Kaichari Gram to celebrate the first festival in honor of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur was one of the very great worshipable Vaishnavas who attended that wonderful celebration. Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami continuously praises Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur in his great literature, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. He worships the feet of Vrindavan Das Thakur again and again and again, taking the dust from his feet on his head again and again. He invites the whole world, please taste the supreme nectar of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat by Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur. Kaviraj Goswami explains, he is Vedavyas of Mahaprabhu's Leela. In fact, Vrindavan Das Thakur named his literature Sri Sri Chaitanya Mangal. But because Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and the other acharyas accepted that he's none different than Srila Vedavyas of Mahaprabhu's Leela, and because Vedavyas's most important literature is Srimad Bhagavat, or the Bhagavat Purana, they decided it was quite fitting to name Vrindavan Das Thakur's book the Chaitanya Bhagavat. Just as Srimad Bhagavat describes Krishna's glories, Chaitanya Bhagavat describes the glories of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu and his divine associates. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, in his never-ending glorification of Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, was very careful not to disturb the etiquette of transgressing the proper behavior toward a superior Vaishnava. He considered Vrindavan Das Thakur a superior Vaishnava. And therefore, those stories that Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur describes in Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami did not repeat those stories except in very short codes, summaries. And he explains how Vrindavan Das Thakur has so illustriously given Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, but whatever remnants that he have left behind, I am chewing that. Whichever stories Vrindavan Das Thakur did not tell in much detail, or did not tell at all, it was that which composed Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is considered to be the postgraduate study of Srimad Bhagavatam. In the 16th chapter of Adi Leela of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur describes the glories of Srila Haridas Thakur. I think it will be a very suitable glorification of Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur to try, according to our very lowly and insignificant capacity, to repeat what he has written in glorification of Srila Haridas Thakur at this place, Siddha Bakula, the eternal home, the Bhajan Kutir of Srila Haridas Thakur. A portion of our narration today will be an offering to Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur coming from his divine love for Lord Sri Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami also explains both Vrindavan Das Thakur and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami take great joy in glorifying the love that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all his devotees had for Srila Haridas Thakur, and the supreme mercy of this acharya. Lord Chaitanya wanted to very carefully annihilate all of the misconceptions that were created over the generations through tradition within the Vedic culture. Krishna explains to Arjuna in fourth chapter of Sri Bhagavad Gita how at the beginning he spoke this divine knowledge to the sun god, Vibhishwan, but over the course of time that knowledge had been lost. The nature of this material world is forgetfulness. Everything is in the process of being destroyed. From the moment you are born, you begin to deteriorate in so many ways. So even transcendental knowledge, within this world, its tendency is always to be adulterated, compromised, forgotten. That is why it is very essential to receive knowledge through parampara. Evam parampara praptam. Parampara is the system that Lord Krishna has personally established to preserve his original teachings age after age after age. However, as we know, in this age of Kali Yuga, authorized parampara is not very prominent within the world society. Only some very, very fortunate souls who are intelligent and sincere allow their lives to be guided by the pure teachings of the Lord coming through parampara. In this age of Kali, irreligion is taken to be religion and religion is taken to be irreligion simply because there is no humility at the feet of the parampara. And this is what happened with the Hindu religion, which was originally Sanatana Dharma, the Vedic culture. So many misconceptions, so many exploitative motives changed the teachings of the original Vedas. One has no right to make an interpretation on the name of God. One should simply hear it as it is and repeat it as it is. One can expand and expound upon it according to its original spirit, but not interpret what it means. That is injustice. It is cheating in the name of religion. So the Varnashram system is consisted of four Varnas and four Ashrams. Chatur Varna Mayastristam. The four Varnas are Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras. And it is very common that we take our birth according to our previous karma in a family with a particular type of karma and guna. However, Krishna explains that it is not by birth, but it is by the qualities one manifests and the activities one performs that determines your varna. But the great, great perversion that has so much crippled the entire Vedic culture is when corrupt Brahmins began to preach that caste is by birth. Why did they preach this? Because they did not want to live by the austerities, the simplicity, and the purity of a Brahmin. However, they did want to control the society and receive the respect and the benefits of a Brahmin. The only way they could do that is to preach, because we are born Brahmins, you must obey us. You must give us your money. You must give us your praise. And gradually, people started becoming so cheap. They weren't concerned with qualifications, with austerities, with devotion. But rather they became attached to religion on the basis of externals. External birth, external rituals, external recitation of mantras. And this type of superficiality has grown to be the major mass of the population of what we now call Hinduism. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to smash these misconceptions into so many He wanted to smash it into such fine powder that no one could even find it, see it, smell it, or touch it ever again. And how did he do this? One of the ways, he had sent his most empowered, illustrious, eternal servants to take birth in lower families. Srila Haridas Thakur is Lord Brahma. He's a great Brahman. In fact, the word Brahman has some connection to Brahma. What kind of Brahman is Brahma? Tene Brahma Hridaya Adakavyenu Yantiya Surya. Brahmins are supposed to know the Vedas. They are supposed to speak the Vedas. Lord Brahma is the author of all the Vedas. He is the first person in the universe to speak the Vedas, and all the Vedas have come from his mouth. Yet, Lord Chaitanya sent the avatar of Brahma to take birth in the family of Malechas and Yavanas. It was also Brahma's desire. There is a beautiful story in Sri Navadvipa Dham Mahatmyam by Thakur Bhakti Vinod of how Lord Brahma, after he stole Krishna's cows and cowherd boys in Sri Vrindavan, and then he saw Krishna's opulence manifesting as every boy and every calf, Brahma felt very ashamed. He was thinking, because of my false pride of having such a big, big position as the original guru, the original father, the creator of everything, there's certainly opportunity to become proud. How much are we proud? And what are we? Are we the original anything? We may have father of 3, 4, 5 children, we have no control. We may have little wealth, he has Brahma Loka. So he prayed to Krishna that you are like the sun and I am like a little firefly. In the absence of the sun, the firefly thinks I am lighting up the universe. But in the presence of the sun, the firefly realizes I am insignificant. Whatever energy I have is coming from the sun. So Lord Brahma came to Sri Navadvipa Dham, knowing that this is the place where the most munificent and merciful of all incarnations, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, would appear to bestow his most causeless mercy upon all. He performed tapasya there. Lord Gaurasundar appeared before him. When he saw the beautiful golden dancing form of Gauranga, Lord Brahma, in ecstatic love, surrendered to his lotus feet. He prayed, "Please, let me never be victimized by this false pride again. Let me forever understand my eternal position as the servant of the servant of your servants. And let me constantly chant your holy names." Lord Chaitanya told Brahmaji that I give you this benediction. Before I appear in this age of Kali Yuga, in this beautiful form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you will take birth in a family of Malechas and Yavanas. you will be Srila Haridas Thakur. And you will be the Acharya to teach the whole world the glories of the chanting of the holy names of Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna.
When I appear as Lord Chaitanya, you should know that I am the original Krishna, coming to taste the sweetness of the ecstasy of Sri Radharani's love. But I will disguise myself to be in the role of my own devotee. This is a great secret, you should not disclose it. Because this secret was spoken in that particular place in the very heart of Navadvip, it is called Antardvip, the place where the great confidential message was revealed. So it was Brahma's desire that instead of being the supreme worshipable deity of all the demigods, he would take birth in a family of Malechas and Yavanas. Devotees like to take humble positions. Vidura is Yamaraj. Not a very humble position. Although he's the most humble person. He's a Mahajan. Still, he has to make judgment on all sinful people's lives. But out of his, he was always praying, just let me have a humble, simple position to preach. So he was given the birth of Vidura, who was considered to be like a Sudra. So Haridas Thakur is the most exalted personality. But Lord Chaitanya sent him to take birth in a Muslim family of meat-eaters, Malechas, Yavanas. He was considered by the whole Hindu culture to be an untouchable outcast. But Mahaprabhu manifested his glories through him. Mahaprabhu wanted to manifest the true essence of the scriptures through Srila Haridas Thakur. From his very earliest childhood, he was naturally a great devotee of Krishna, constantly chanting Lord Krishna's names. When he was... Are some of you very hot? You can sit here also. It's quite cool. Please come. Young man, he was living in a place called Dainapur. There he was always so eager to preach the glories of the chanting of the holy names. He lived in a little hut in a secluded place in the forest. And every day he would chant at least 300,000 names of Krishna in front of the tulsi plant. There was a very wealthy landowner named Ramchandra Khan, and he became terribly envious of Srila Haridas Thakur. So he sent a very, very beautiful expert prostitute to destroy the vows of Haridas. He told the prostitute, I will send my soldiers with you. And when Haridas Thakur comes to enjoy you, they will arrest him and beat him. Then we will expose him to the whole world. The prostitute said, let me go alone the first night, and then after you can send your soldiers. So she came before Haridas Thakur. She bowed down before Tulsi Devi. She prayed, "Oh, Thakur, you are so young and your body is so beautiful. What woman's mind is not charmed by your handsome form? What noble woman could possibly restrain her senses after seeing you?" "And I am a very beautiful young woman. By the will of Providence, we have met together in this secluded dark forest. It is my desire that we have union together." Then she began to reveal various postures which were very difficult to tolerate for any ordinary person. Haridas Thakur was so compassionate. He said, "Yes, I shall certainly fulfill your desires. But first I must finish my vow of chanting 10 million names of Krishna per month. So I have to chant so many today. After completing..." The whole night went by and Haridas Thakur continuously was immersed in chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. She left. She told Ramchandra Khan, "When he finishes his rounds, then..." But he hasn't finished his rounds yet. The next night she came. Haridas Thakur apologized. "I'm very sorry. I did not fulfill your desires last night. But I just didn't finish my vow. Stay again tonight." Second night, same thing took place. The third night she came, Haridas Thakur, with great humility, he told her, "Today, definitely, I will fulfill your desires." During that night, after hearing Haridas Thakur chanting in the presence of Tulsi Devi every day for 3 nights, she began chanting along with him. And by the end of the night, she fell at Haridas Thakur's feet and surrendered. She said, "I am so fallen and lowly. I am a prostitute. And I was sent here by Ramchandra Khan just to destroy you. But now I desire to become your disciple. Please accept me." Haridas Thakur said, "Yes, I knew who you were, and I knew that the rascal, envious Ramchandra Khan sent you. In fact, when I heard Ramchandra Khan was so disturbed, I was going to leave. But I decided to stay 3 extra nights just to deliver you. Now you should give away all the wealth you earned from your prostitution. You should take only one simple dress, shave your head, come back here, worship Tulsi, and chant 300,000 names of Krishna every single day." "Do not worry about food. Eat simple. Krishna will supply whatever you need, and I will leave this place." After this, Haridas Thakur's fame and glory spread far and wide. And soon after, Ramchandra Khan was completely destroyed. He was tortured with his family. All of his wealth was plundered, and the entire village was devastated. This is the reaction of offending a great Vaishnava. Haridas Thakur left Dainapur and went to Chandrapur, where Balaramacharya invited him for a assembly of great Brahmins. There Haridas Thakur extolled the glories of the chanting of the holy names. How mukti, liberation, is just a dim reflection of the result of chanting the holy names. How one should not chant the holy names for material benefits, mystic powers, or even liberation for all sins. The real goal of chanting the holy names is pure unalloyed love for Krishna, the ultimate goal of life. Gopal Chakravarti, a very learned and handsome Brahmin, very much rejected this idea and insulted Haridas. People spend birth after birth after birth to achieve mukti. The greatest learned scholars, they glorify the goal of mukti, and you are seeing it is just a dim byproduct of the chanting of the holy names when you're not even chanting purely? If it is not true what you are saying, I will cut off your nose. Haridas Thakur very humbly said, it is according to Shastra. What is the problem? But anyways, Balaramacharya, Yadunandanacharya, Hiranya Govardhan, they rejected this Gopal Chakravarti, and the next day he achieved his destination of leprosy, and his nose fell off. Krishna cut off his nose. Hare Krishna. During that visit to Chandrapur, Haridas Thakur would regularly meet with Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. At that time, Raghunath Das was just a little boy. But his father, Govardhan Majumdar, and his uncle, Hiranya, they were disciples of Yadunandanacharya. Yadunandanacharya was a great disciple of Vasudev Dat, and he was an associate of Vasudev Dat, very close. So he would be taken to visit Haridas Thakur on a regular basis. And it was that association with Srila Haridas Thakur that implanted the seed of utter renunciation in the heart of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. From his very earliest childhood, he had no concern at all for any type of sense gratification. Haridas Thakur then went to Shantipur. In Shantipur, with great, great bliss, he met with Srila Advaitacharya. Advaitacharya was always longing for the association of a great Vaishnava. And who was a greater Vaishnava than Srila Haridas Thakur? Together they would sing, they would dance, they would discuss the glories of Krishna. Srila Advaitacharya would practically daily, he arranged for a nice cave for Haridas Thakur to live in a place just close to Shantipur called Fulia. He would arrange night to invite Haridas for wonderful prasad at his home. One day Haridas Thakur said to Advaitacharya, you are the king of Brahmins, you are the best of Brahmins. Why are you so kind to me? I'm a malacha, I'm the most sinful, I am the most fallen. Why are you giving me so much of your mercy? What will all the other Brahmins think of you? In those days, Brahmins were very, very, very caste conscious. What will they think of you associating with me, praising me, and giving me so much honor? Advaitacharya said, by feeding you and serving you, I am feeding and serving 10 million Brahmins. Today I want you to accept the first offering of Shraddha. Great honor! In the Shraddha ceremony when Brahmins perform it, the most respected, superior of all Brahmins get that first portion. although there were so many learned scholars and so many high-born qualified Brahmins assembled together, in front of everyone, Advaitacharya gave the first remnants to Srila Haridas Thakur. While Haridas Thakur was living in Puglia, he was immersed in so much transcendental bliss, chanting the holy names and spreading the glories of Harinam Sankirtan. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur describes these stories. He explains how Haridas Thakur was constantly dancing along the banks of the Ganges. Tears coming from his eyes, his hair standing on end, his limbs trembling. Whoever he would see, he would raise his arms and induce them to chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. He became so well known and loved by so many people that the government officials became very worried. At that time, the state of Bengal was ruled over by a Muslim government. They came in and conquered. The Qazi of that area of Puglia was so much fearful and envious of Haridas Thakur that he went to the king to complain. The king decided that Haridas Thakur must be arrested and brought before him for judgment. So Haridas Thakur came to where the king was residing. At that time, he was to be put in prison. When the other prisoners heard that Srila Haridas Thakur was going to be coming, they were so happy. They were going to get darshan of a pure devotee. They were unhappy that they were in prison, but they were happy that Haridas Thakur was coming to the prison. Actually, in those days, most of the prisoners were very pious, saintly people. It was the people outside of the prison that you had to worry about. Because in this Muslim government, anyone who was very saintly and pious and tried to openly exercise their devotion to God, they were arrested and put in prison. They were considered a disturbance and a threat to society. So they were begging the prison guards, let us just have a glimpse of Srila Haridas Thakur. When Haridas Thakur came before the prisoners, they all, each and every one of these prisoners, started offering their obeisances with great devotion to the lotus feet of Srila Thakur Haridas. As they looked at Haridas and Haridas glanced upon them, they were filled with so much devotion. Tears started flowing from their eyes, and the eight symptoms of ecstasy started manifesting in their body just by seeing Srila Haridas Thakur. And naturally, the name of Krishna was coming from their mouths. Haridas looked at them and was so pleased. He said, stay just where you are. I give you this benediction. May always you be as you are now. The prisoners became very unhappy to hear this benediction. Haridas Thakur could see this. So he said, "You do not understand the nature of my benediction. Right now, you are completely Krishna conscious. Your minds are totally absorbed in the thought of Krishna. You are offering respectful obeisances from the core of your heart to a saint, to a devotee of Krishna. The purpose of human life is to remember Krishna. At this time, you are completely detached from every other thought and you are immersed in the thought of Krishna. This is the benediction I give you. May you always be in this state of consciousness. Do not associate with materialistic people. Do not cause violence to any other living entity. Do not become attached to any of the illusory pleasures of this world of suffering. Always keep your attachment to Krishna and constantly chant the holy names of Krishna." Do not think that I am giving you any other benediction. It is not that you have to stay in prison always. In fact, within 3 days you will all be released from prison. That's when the real dangers begin. He didn't say that, but he indicated. Then Haridas Thakur was brought before the king. The king, when he saw the beauty of Srila Haridas Thakur, he was such an ocean of good qualities. His arms extended below his knees. He was such a beautiful person. He had lotus eyes. The king stood up. He said, "I have called you because you are causing a disturbance within society. I must pass judgment upon you. The Qazi has complained against you." "My dear Haridas," the king said, "you are so fortunate. You have taken the most auspicious birth of a Muslim. Why are you behaving like a low-class outcast Hindu? Hindus are untouchable. This material world, things are very relative." The king said, "If I will never ever even touch rice that has been looked upon by a Hindu, because it is contaminated." He said, "Why are you behaving in such a low-class way? You should accept your own religion. What benefits will you derive by finding some other religion than your own?" Haridas Thakur, when he heard this, he replied, "Aha! Just see the power of Vishnu's illusory energy." Then he began to laugh. He said, "There is only one God for all religions. And that God is all pure. He is indivisible. He is all merciful. He is perfect and complete and full in every way. The Quran and the Puranas are describing the same one Supreme Personality of Godhead. There may be differences in the description of that one God, and there may be differences in how that God is worshipped, and there may be differences in the names called upon for that God. But it is the same one God. That Lord is within everyone's heart. And He gives every living being who sincerely wants to approach Him a particular type of devotion. The Lord has given me this devotion to Lord Krishna Himself. He said, this cannot be changed. If you feel I should be punished, then give me this punishment. You meditate on this. If a high-class Brahmin becomes a Muslim, how do you think the Brahmins should punish him? You should punish me the same way. And the king and the Qazi said, Haridas, we will set you free if you just speak from your own scripture and stop propagating this Harinam Sankirtan. Haridas Thakur said, whatever is the will of God is what I do. And whatever is the will of God will be my destiny. If you decide to punish me, if you decide to torture me or kill me, I will accept that as the will of God graciously. However, please know this, that even if you cut my body into hundreds and millions of pieces, I will never stop chanting the holy names of God. And I will never stop giving Krishna's love to the world. And the Qazi was furious. The king turned to him, how do you want to punish him? He must be killed. He should be beaten in all 22 marketplaces of Phulia. And if he lives beyond these 22 marketplaces, then I will consider him a saintly person. They called the executioners, big, powerful, demoniac, cruel men. They dragged Haridas Thakur, dragged him, kicked him, shouting all sorts of slanderous, terrible blasphemies against him, and they began to beat him with sticks. They beat him with all their strength. As Haridas Thakur was being beaten, he was constantly chanting Krishna's names. He would never stop chanting Krishna's names. They dragged him from one marketplace, they beat him to the next marketplace, beat him to the next marketplace. The pious people of the town, they were praying. They were offering these executioners any amount of money, any gifts, but stop beating this innocent man. People were crying and weeping, wailing in retaliation against this. Some of the people of Phulia even tried to physically risk their very lives to stop these executioners from beating Haridas Thakur. But nothing that anyone could do would change the hearts of these evil, cruel men who continued to beat him and beat him and beat him. Just as Prahlad Maharaj was tortured in so many ways by the Rakshasa executioners of Hiranyakashipu, but always protected. Similarly, Haridas Thakur did not even feel any pain because he was completely under the protection of the chanting of Krishna's holy name. Krishna, 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 Krishna. All 22 marketplaces, from morning till night, they beat him. Continuously! Their arms were so tired, they were so fatigued, they couldn't move. They were in great astonishment. Haridas, how have you done this? No man has ever lived beyond two or three marketplaces. You are still alive. While Haridas Thakur was being beaten, Vrindavan Das Thakur explains, he never once prayed, Krishna, protect me. He never once prayed, Krishna, relieve the pain. The only prayer he was offering while he was chanting the holy names was, my dear Lord, if you consider that what these men are doing to me by beating me is an offense, please forgive them. Do not cause them any inconvenience. This is the nature of the forgiveness of a Vaishnava. The executioner said to Haridas that we cannot kill you. We cannot kill you. But because you're still alive, the Qazi is going to kill us. Haridas Thakur smiled at them and said with great mercy, if my being alive is a disturbance to you, then I will die. Just watch with your eyes how I do it. Then Haridas Thakur sat down and went deep, deep into samadhi. All symptoms of life disappeared from his body. No heartbeat, no pulse, no breath. He was clinically dead. The executioners picked him up and brought him to the doorway of the Qazi and the king, threw him there. The king said, he is dead. We should have a burial for him. Qazi said, no, no burial for him. He is a disgrace to our society and religion. If he is buried according to the proper Muslim rites, then he will attain paradise. Throw him in the river so he will have to suffer eternally. They went to pick him up to throw him in the river. But he was so heavy that they could not lift him. So many big, strong people were coming, they could not lift him. But then, ultimately, after performing this wonderful miracle, he made himself liftable. They threw him in the Ganges. He went under the water. He flowed down the stream for some ways. Then Srila Haridas Thakur came out of his state of samadhi. He came back on the bank and walked back into the city or the village of Fulia. When they heard about this, the executioner, the king, they all came out. Qazi, they all fell at his feet, surrendered. The king said, now I can understand that you are a great saintly person. Please, please forgive my ignorance. Please forgive my offenses to you. I did not understand who you are. You have such deep love for Krishna. Even the greatest scholars and the greatest yogis cannot achieve the perfection of consciousness that you have achieved. I declare today that you can go wherever you want and do whatever you want, whenever you want, and chant Harinam, and no one will disturb you. Haridas Thakur forgave all of them with great affection. Then he came into an assembly of Brahmins. When the Brahmins saw Haridas Thakur came alive again, they were so happy. They all started chanting, Hari, Hari!
Hari, Hari!
Haridas Thakur, they asked him, why did this happen to you? Thakur Haridas said, by Krishna's mercy, because I heard them blaspheming the holy name of Krishna and the path of devotion, therefore I deserve much worse suffering than this. This was the reaction for me hearing the blasphemy of Krishna Nam and Krishna Bhakti. Krishna is so merciful. He only slightly punished me for the offense which deserved so much worse. But I am so grateful to him because now I am relieved of that aparad. This is the humility of Haridas Thakur. He did not blame them, but he simply blamed himself. Srila Haridas Thakur lived in a cave in Phulia. And oftentimes people would come to have his darshan and hear from him the glories of Krishna's holy names. But there was one great difficulty that these people would have to endure. There was a venomous snake living in the cave with Haridas that was so powerful that there was such a poisonous fragrance in the atmosphere that it was intolerable. It would even take the form of sparks and fire. There would just be sparks and fire and terrible choking air. Nobody knew what it was. They wanted so much to be with Haridas Thakur, but it was impossible to stay there. So they went to many different people to ask, what is in his cave? Ultimately, some medical expert said, from the symptoms you are explaining, there is a terrible venomous snake living in his cave. Those devotees came to Haridas and told him about this snake in the cave and asked him, please move to another place. Haridas Thakur said, I didn't notice any bad smell. I'm just chanting the holy names. However, it is not an inconvenience for me, but if it is uncomfortable for you, then if the snake does not leave by morning, I will leave this place for another. Immediately when he said that, a beautiful, beautiful, but fearful snake started coming out from his cave. This snake was so big. He had a jewel on the top of his head. He was yellow and black and all sorts of colors. This snake was so fearful, everyone was trembling as they saw him. He left the cave never to come back. Because Krishna, within the heart of that snake, did not want to inconvenience Haridas Thakur. Because Krishna, within the heart of that snake, did not want to inconvenience Haridas Thakur. Even the snake wanted his association. But when he saw that his associating with Haridas was an inconvenience, he very respectfully left. Vrindavan Das Thakur also explains in Phulia, one time a snake doctor who would chant mantras to heal people who were bitten by snakes. He was singing and dancing. And he was singing and dancing so nicely that big, big crowd of people came to see him. When he would sing and dance, it is said, Vasuki would enter into his body, one of the kings of the snakes. He was singing about Krishna dancing on the hoods of Kaliya.
one of the great historical snakes.
Haridas Thakur happened to be coming by. When he heard the glories of Krishna subduing Kaliya, he went into an ecstatic trance and began to dance. How he was dancing, how he was crying, how he was calling out the holy names of Krishna. It was a great wonder. All the people in the crowd were simply watching with great love in their hearts. And the snake charmer stood beside, and with tears flowing from his eyes and folded palms, he was honoring Haridas Thakur. All the people of the town who were there were honoring and showering praise and glorification on Haridas Thakur for his great love for Krishna. At that time, there was a very learned Brahmin who was very proud and envious. He was thinking, what is this that I am seeing with my eyes? A low-class malecha and yavana is being praised and honored by all these people. I'm a Brahmin. What is he doing? What's so great about him? He's just crying and rolling around on the ground. I could do that too. If I do it, then all these people will honor and worship me. So this Brahmin cried out, oh! Started crying. He started dancing and rolling on the ground. Instantly, the snake bite physician picked up a stick and started to beat him and 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 beat him. Every limb of his body was beaten. He was in pain. He was howling, not in ecstasy, but in agony. And as soon as he could somehow or other get to his feet, he ran away. Then the Brahmin started dancing again. I mean, the snake bite charmer. So the people of the town were very confused. They asked snake bite physician, why did you do that? When Haridas Thakur was dancing and rolling, you were praising him. You were honoring him. You were offering obeisances to him. When this Brahmin did the same thing, you beat him. Why? Tell us. He explained, Haridas Thakur is an ocean of humility. He is genuinely the well-wisher of all living beings. He was expressing his divine love for Krishna, not for any prestige. But this Brahmin, he was envious of Haridas Thakur. He could not tolerate a low-class person getting more respect from him. He wanted the worship for himself. Therefore, he was artificially imitating the ecstatic symptoms of a Vaishnava. Therefore, he must be punished. Srila Haridas Thakur ki. One day, a Brahmin approached Haridas and told him that you are ruining our Vedic culture. How is that? Because the name of God should never be chanted loudly. The name of God is confidential and secret, and it must only be repeated within the heart, silently, by the Brahmins. If you chant loudly, you will pollute the name of God. You are a disgrace to the Vedic culture. You are the ruination of the Vedic culture. Haridas Thakur said, let us have a discussion of this in the assembly of Brahmins. So this Brahmin brought his other friends, who were all very much against Haridas Thakur. He was a great threat to the Smartha Brahmin community, because they were getting all sorts of respect because of their learned scholarship and because of their high birth. But they had no qualities of devotion. But anyone who was influenced by Haridas Thakur, they understood that it is only devotion that has any real value.
And a Brahmin is useless without devotion to Krishna. So they wanted to defeat Haridas Thakur and make it known. So they challenged him. It is sinful to say the name of God out loud. Haridas Thakur began quoting from scripture after scripture after scripture, describing the glories of the loud chanting of the holy name. He quoted from the Narsingha Purana, or was it? One of the Puranas. He quoted from this scripture where it describes that loudly chanting the holy names of Krishna is 1,000 times more powerful than chanting softly or silently. Haridas Thakur explained, when you chant quietly, only the person chanting is benefited. But when you chant loudly, anyone who hears that sound vibration is benefited. Not only all humans, but even the grass, the insects, the vegetables, the animals, everyone is benefited by hearing the holy name of Krishna. And ultimately our spiritual advancement comes from pleasing Krishna. If we are helping other people benefit, we please Krishna more than just trying to benefit ourselves. Therefore, the potency of chanting loudly is far greater than the potency of chanting silently. On the basis of all these scriptures, Srila Haridas Thakur established that the Yuga Dharma in the age of Kali Yuga is the loud congregational chanting of Krishna's holy name. Echo of non-moving living entity. These Brahmins were disgusted hearing Haridas Thakur's words. They could not accept it. So Haridas Thakur, with utter detachment, he just walked away from that assembly and went on chanting Harinam. By the way, that Brahmin who insulted him got smallpox. And his nose fell off also. Srila Krishna, these stories have been told in Chaitanya Bhagavat. In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami explains how once a very beautiful woman came to Phulia, to the forest cave of Haridas. She was so beautiful that her body was emitting light in the darkness. Have you ever met a Mataji like this? My dear Matajis, however beautiful you are, when it's dark, no one can see you. Whether your complexion is light or dark, or whether your eyes are like lotuses or like peas. When it's dark, no one sees you. But this woman in the dark, light emanating, she was so beautiful. If you don't bathe for a few days, no one will be attracted. But this lady, from her body was emanating the most sweet, ambrosial, intoxicating fragrances. She was the very personification of all beauty in this world. She came into the forest and she bowed before Tulsi and said to Haridas, "I am very beautiful and you are very beautiful. Let us enjoy union in this lonely place." Haridas Thakur said, "Yes, I will fulfill your desires, but I haven't completed my chanting." One thing about Haridas Thakur that we should know is he never finished his chanting.
Trinarati Sudichena, Tarorati Sahishnana, Amanina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sada Hari.
One who is more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, ready to offer all respect to others and expect none in return, such a person chants the holy names of the Lord constantly.
Satatam Kirtayantom Yam.
Krishna says, those who are my devotees, they are always chanting my holy names. So, this woman, charming woman, for 3 nights consecutively, she was exposing beautiful parts of her body before Haridas Thakur. But his determination was always fixed in Krishna's holy name. Param drisvani vartate. When we experience a higher taste, then the lower tastes of this material world no longer have any charm to us. Simply trying to forsake material enjoyment through jaya renunciation, we may be able to restrain ourselves from Maya's temptations for some time. But the soul is pleasure-seeking. Unless the soul experiences a higher fulfillment, it cannot keep away from material enjoyment. Haridas Thakur was experiencing the higher taste. Why? Because all Krishna's opulences are within his names. Nam namakari bahudani jasarva shaktis tatrapi tani amita smaradena kala. Ethadrisi tavakripa bhagavan mamapi durataya vamidrishami hajaninanuragaha. The Lord has invested within his names all of his potencies, all of his opulences, all of his transcendental pastimes. Everything is within Krishna's name. As Krishna is all attractive, his name is all attractive. Krishna is Rasaraj, the king of all intimate, ecstatic, loving exchanges, and he is non-different than his name. The ecstasies of the spiritual world are all revealed when we chant the holy name purely with love of God. So therefore, what could any temptation of this material world possibly do to attract Haridas, who was constantly never stopping his chanting of the loud glories of Krishna's heart? Unity in diversity. After 3 days, 3 nights, this beautiful lady revealed who she really was. She was Maya personified, the controller of the entire material existence. With all of her power, she tried to tempt Haridas Thakur, but was unsuccessful. Maya personified said, "Previously, I received the name of Ram from Lord Shiva. But today, I am begging you that you give me initiation into the name of Krishna." Haridas Thakur was so pure in loving devotion and so fixed in the chanting of the holy names that Maya personified accepted Diksha from him and took the holy name of Krishna. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Haridas Thakur, while living in Fulia near Shantipur, was with Sri Adwaitacharya at the time of the lunar eclipse that took place on the full moon night of the month of Phalgun, when Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. When Gauranga Mahaprabhu appeared within the hearts of Adwaitacharya and Haridas Thakur, they became filled with bliss, overwhelming ecstasy. They were crying and dancing jubilantly, loudly chanting the holy names. People did not understand why the Lord had descended. The fulfillment of all Adwaita's prayers had been achieved. The Lord appeared. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned from Gaya and manifested his transcendental potencies of delivering the fallen souls through Harinam Kirtan, Haridas Thakur came to Sri Navadvip Dham to be close to the Lord of his life. Then Haridas Thakur, staying in Navadvip, became the constant associate of Lord Chaitanya. In the nocturnal kirtans in Srivas Thakur's house, Haridas Thakur was one of the chief dancers and singers in the association of the Lord. During the drama at Chandrasekhar Acharya's house, he was the first person to come out as a Vaikuntha guard. His purpose was to wake everybody up. How dearly Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu loved Haridas Thakur. What an intimate service he gave him. One day, Lord Chaitanya called for Srila Haridas Thakur and Nityananda Prabhu and gave them a very special instruction. You go to every house, to every shop, to every bathing ghat, to every person, and you give them my message. Chant the name of Krishna. Worship Krishna. Tell others about Krishna. Krishna is your mother. Krishna is your father. Krishna is your real true wealth. Krishna is your very life and soul. Chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Thakur Haridas and Prabhu Nityananda took this order as their life and soul upon their heads. They would go house to house with great humility, with straw between their teeth, begging people, please take the name of Krishna. It is Gauranga's message. Chant Hare Krishna. When they approached an assembly of people, they looked, what are they all seeing? They saw the two most demoniac, fallen, sinful creatures, Jagai and Madhai. And it was Haridas Thakur and Nityananda Prabhu, with their great compassion, that they requested Jagai and Madhai to give up their sinful activities and chant the holy names. Jagai and Madhai were furious. With the desire to kill them, they chased. And Haridas and Nityananda Prabhu ran away. Nityananda Prabhu said, I don't think there's any danger. After all, you were beaten in 22 marketplaces. Krishna saved you.
Haridas Thakur replied, he saved me then, but I wasn't traveling with a madman like you.
You go up to these most sinful, violent rascals and tell them to chant Hare Krishna. I think today, because of my association with you, my life will end. In this way, they were laughing as they were running. They were joking and laughing as they were running. Most people, if Jagai and Madhai were running after you, you wouldn't be laughing and joking. But they were fearless.
Ultimately, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered Jagai and Madhai in a most wonderful way by the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu.
But when they came back that night, they were giving their report. Every night they would come back and report their Sankirtan activities to Lord Chaitanya. He was the Sankirtan partner of Nityananda Prabhu. And when they told him Jagai and Madhai, Lord Chaitanya asked, who is this Jagai and Madhai? There is no sin they do not commit. They eat cows, they kill Brahmins, they rape women, they beat old people, they set people's houses on fire at night, they rob people, plunder people, they're constantly drinking intoxications. They are the most sinful of all sinners. Lord Chaitanya said, because Nityananda Prabhu has decided to give them Krishna Prema, they will soon achieve Krishna Prema. Meanwhile, Haridas was complaining to Advaitacharya in great fun. Very difficult traveling and preaching with Nityananda. We go to the river, we see these dangerous man-eating crocodiles. He jumps in to ride on them. He goes up to someone else's cow and starts drinking their milk. He goes into people's houses and starts stealing their butter. And then when the people come out to punish him, he runs away and I'm standing there. They want to beat me. He goes up to a young, pretty girl and says, please marry me. Very dangerous traveling with Nityananda Prabhu. And today, look at what he has done. He went up to Jagai and Madhai and told them, give up your sins and chant Hare Krishna. We almost were killed by them. These two drunkards. Advaitacharya laughed. He said, what do you expect? Drunkards always like to associate with drunkards. Nityananda Prabhu was drunk, intoxicated by the holy name of Krishna and love of God. So naturally he wants to associate with other drunkards. But Advaitacharya said, you just see, within a few days Jagai and Madhai will be chanting and dancing within our association because Nityananda Prabhu has decided to give them his mercy. During the Sat Praharya Leela, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was fulfilling the desires of all of his devotees, he called upon Haridas Thakur. Mahaprakash, in the house of Srivas, Lord Chaitanya was revealing his eternal, unlimited forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just according to that particular devotee's ecstatic love. To Murari Gupta, he revealed his beautiful form of Lord Ram. When he called upon Haridas Thakur, he said, Haridas, see my opulence. Haridas Thakur saw the beautiful, opulent form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He fainted. Then Lord Chaitanya told him, Do you remember when you were beaten in those 22 marketplaces? How those envious, violent, cruel men were beating you, blaspheming you? I descended from Vaikuntha with my Sudarshan chakra to kill them in order to protect them, protect you. However, you are so humble that when I was trying to kill them, you were praying as you're fixed, with fixed consciousness. Please, my Lord, forgive these men. Please, my Lord, show compassion to these men. The power of your forgiveness was greater than the power of my desire to punish them. Therefore, my chakra would not move. But I could not tolerate seeing you being beaten. So I personally incarnated to cover your body with my own. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally showed Haridas Thakur that all the marks of the beatings that were meant for him were on the body of Lord Chaitanya. Haridas Thakur fainted unconscious. When he came again to consciousness, Lord Chaitanya was revealing his beautiful form of the personality of Godhead. He asked Haridas to accept a benediction. Haridas offered a prayer that the ultimate and only perfection of life is to always remember you. You always protect those devotees who remember you. Draupadi, when she was being stripped naked by the leaders of the Kurus, represented by Dushasana, she was helpless. Even Bhishma, Yudhisthira, Bhima, Arjuna could not help her. A frail woman with a big, big, powerful kshatriya pulling off her clothes to strip her naked. In that condition, she remembered you, and you supplied an unlimited sari to protect her. At one time, Parvati was being harassed by terrible, envious witches, but you protected her. And Prahlad Maharaj, although he was only a five-year-old child, Hiranyakashipu conquered the whole universe. And with his Rakshasa armies throwing him in fire, throwing him in water, throwing him off mountains, giving him poison, stabbing him with tridents. Because he remembered you, you protected him. The Pandavas, when they were living in the Kamyavan forest, Duryodhana Muni came. But somehow Draupadi, her magic pot, she already ate from, so it no longer worked properly for that day. At that time, Yudhisthira Maharaj and the Pandavas, not wanting to make this grievous offense against the great Duryodhana Muni, they remembered you. And just by taking a particle of sabji stuck to the bottom of that pot, you protected them by filling the bellies of Duryodhana Muni and his 60,000 disciples. Ajamir was so sinful, but at the time of death, because he remembered you, you protected him. But I am so unfortunate and sinful, so fallen, I cannot remember you, my Lord. I have no power to remember you, my Lord. Please be merciful to me. The Lord again requested, please ask for a benediction. Haridas Thakur said, if you want to give me a benediction, please fulfill my one heartfelt desire. That let me always take birth in such a place that I can receive the remnants of the food from the plate of your devotees. let me be even a dog near the home of your devotees, so that when their food is thrown out, I could be there to eat their remnants. Grant me this desire. Birth after birth after birth, I may always get the maha maha prasad of your devotees. Let me always serve them. Let me always chant your holy names. Haridas Thakur revealed the inseparable nature of these two spiritual activities, chanting Harinam and serving Vaishnavas. Unless we have this sweet spirit of honoring, worshipping, and serving devotees as Haridas Thakur, we cannot properly chant the holy names. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Haridas Thakur, anyone who sees you will achieve love of God and chant Krishna's holy names. I give you this benediction. You will always be very dear to the devotees. You will always be in the service of the Vaishnavas. And you will always be enlightening the whole world in the glories of Harinam Sankirtan. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas, Haridas Thakur was one of the devotees in great separation from the Lord. Lord Chaitanya came here to Jagannath Puri, then he went on his South Indian tour. When he arrived, Kal Krishna Das was sent to Sachimata and Advaitacharya to explain that Lord Chaitanya had returned. And the first party of devotees came to Puri. Haridas Thakur was one of them. Yesterday we described briefly in Gambira some of the wonderful pastimes that took place there. On this occasion, when all the devotees were crowded in the room of the Gambira of Sri Chaitanya, he was honoring and praising each and every one of them. He would embrace them. He would inquire into their welfare. During this intimate, loving exchange of Mahaprabhu and his bhaktas, he asked, "Where is Haridas Thakur?" The devotees looked around and they saw him down the road, laying on the ground in prostrated obeisances, chanting the names of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya said, "Please bring him here." The devotees went out. Haridas was so humble, he was just laying in the dust of the road. They said to Srila Haridas Thakur that Lord Chaitanya is calling you, he wants you to come. Haridas Thakur said, "I am too fallen. I am too sinful to go there. He lives close to the Jagannath temple. I cannot come so close to Jagannath's temple. If I touch one of the servants of Jagannath, they will be contaminated. I am very lowly and fallen. It is my great hope that I may have a place where I could worship the Lord near the Jagannath temple, but not too near." So the devotees came back and they explained this to Lord Chaitanya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very happy to hear. He continued his loving exchanges with his devotees. Then he sent them all to go to the sea to bathe, and then to come back for prasad and to see Lord Jagannath. As the devotees left, Lord Chaitanya personally came out to where Haridas Thakur was laying in the ground offering his obeisances. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him. Haridas Thakur said, "I am untouchable, please do not touch me." Lord Chaitanya said, "I am touching you for my purification." Then Lord Chaitanya arranged in a nice little garden very close to his own house where Haridas Thakur could reside and perform his bhajan. Lord Chaitanya personally took Haridas Thakur to this very place where we are so fortunate to be sitting today. Lord Chaitanya told him, "From here you can see the chakra of Jagannath's temple. The chakra on top of the temple is non-different than the deity inside the temple. And with proper devotion, if we honor and worship the chakra, we get the same credit as if we honor and worship the deity within." Because of Haridas's humility, he would not enter into Jagannath's temple. Lord Chaitanya personally gave him a residence where he could always worship 24 hours a day the chakra of Lord Jagannath. Lord Chaitanya said, "You be comfortable and you stay here and chant Harinam." From that day on, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would come every single day to meet Haridas Thakur. Haridas felt himself so humble he wouldn't go in to see Jagannath. So the moving form of Jagannath, Lord Chaitanya, who is Jagannath himself, every single day would come out to give his darshan to Haridas Thakur right here at Siddhapakura. Lord Chaitanya's daily routine was that he would rise in the morning, he would go to Sri Jagannath Mandir. From standing behind Garuda Stamba, he would have darshan. Then he would, with his devotees, start chanting and dancing in Jagannath Temple for a long time. The Upal Bhog offering was then made, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would take the Mahaprasad of Jagannath with his own hands and come out of the temple to this place, Haridas Thakur's bhajan kutir, and he would, with his own loving hands, give the prasad to Haridas and discuss the glories of Krishna consciousness with him. During the Ratha Yatra, which takes place every year, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu divided all of his hundreds and hundreds of devotees into seven groups. Each of these groups, there was a main dancer, the main dancers and a main singer. Haridas Thakur was selected every year by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be lead dancer of one of the groups. When Srila Rupa Goswami came to Jagannath Puri, he was very eager to reside with Srila Haridas Thakur. Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis were very high caste Saraswat Brahmins. However, they accepted service under the authority of the Nawab Husain Shah. According to the strict principles of Varnashram, a Brahmin is not to serve anyone for occupational reasons. What to speak of a low-class person? It was due to force and compassion they accepted this service. But in any case, they were considered outcasts. After being put under the shelter of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's merciful lotus feet. They were so worshipable. But by their own humility, they considered themselves fallen, sinful outcasts. Rupa and Sanatana Goswami did not feel themselves qualified to enter into Jagannath's temple. And they did not want to disturb any of the social conventions that the temple follows. So whenever they would come, they would stay here at Siddha Bakula, at the Bhajan Kutir of Srila Haridas Thakur. When Rupa Goswami arrived, Haridas Thakur and Rupa Goswami, in great love, they offered their obeisances to each other, they embraced each other. Haridas Thakur said, "Lord Chaitanya told me you were coming. I have simply been waiting for you." "Where is Lord Chaitanya?" Haridas Thakur told Rupa Goswami, "He comes here every day after Upal Bhog offering." At that very moment, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived. It was here that Rupa Goswami bowed down at his lotus feet and Lord Chaitanya lifted him and embraced him with great love. He asked, "How is Sanatana?" Rupa Goswami explained, "I did not see him. He is imprisoned." Lord Chaitanya said, "He is already released from prison, and soon he will come here also." "And your brother Anupam?" Rupa Goswami said that he has recently left his body. Lord Chaitanya told Rupa Goswami, "You stay here happily with Srila Haridas Thakur." In this place, Haridas Thakur and our acharya of our whole sampradaya, Rupa Goswami, would constantly be singing the glories of Krishna's names and pastimes. On his way here, Rupa Goswami was writing a drama of Krishna's lila in Dwarka in Vrindavan. In Satyabhamapur, in Orissa village, Satyabhama appeared to him and said, "It should be two separate dramas. If you do this, I will empower it with my mercy." One day Lord Chaitanya came here and said to Rupa Goswami, "Do not try to take Krishna out of Vrindavan. Yadu Kumar, the Krishna of Dwarka, is different than Sri Nanda Nandana, the Krishna of Vrindavan. Krishna in Dwarka is worshipped and loved in Aishwarya Bhav with great reverence. But Krishna in Vrindavan is worshipped in Madhurya Bhav with great sweetness and intimacy. Do not take Krishna. He never steps foot out of Vrindavan." So, Rupa Goswami understood Lord Chaitanya is omniscient. And then he began to write two separate dramas, Vidagdha Madhava and Lalita Madhava. When all the devotees of Bengal came, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu introduced all of them to Rupa Goswami, Advaita Charya, Nityananda Prabhu, all these devotees. Rupa Goswami fell at the lotus feet of each and every one of these devotees and they lifted him up and embraced him. Rupa Goswami saw the Rath Yatra. During the Rath Yatra, Lord Chaitanya was chanting a very, very confidential prayer that only Srimati Radharani can understand. In the mood of Sri Radharani seeing Krishna in Kurukshetra, she was praying. These are the same moonlit nights of the autumn season. That personality who stole my heart during my youth is now again my master. These are the same moonlit nights of the month of Chaitra. the same fragrance of the Malati flowers is there, and the same sweet breezes are blowing from the Kadamba forest. In our intimate relationship, I am also the same lover, yet still my mind is not happy here. I am eager to go back to that place on the bank of the Reva, under the Vitasi tree. That is my desire. This prayer sounds like the longing of an ordinary mundane lover for the object of his love. Therefore, the devotees could not understand the significant meaning of it. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was chanting this prayer again and again before Lord Jagannath as he was dancing in the ecstasy of Sri Radharani's love. Soon after the Rath Yatra, Srila Rupa Goswami wrote a commentary of that prayer on a palm leaf. It reads as such: My dear friend, now I have met my very old and dear friend Krishna on this field of Kurukshetra. I am the same Radharani, and now we are meeting together. It is very pleasant, but I would still like to go to the bank of the Jamuna beneath the trees of the forest there. I wish to hear the vibrations of his sweet flute playing the fifth note within that forest of Vrindavan. After writing this verse, Srila Rupa Goswami put the palm leaf in the thatched roof of the hut of Srila Haridas Thakur. Then he went to take his bath in the sea. While he was away, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came here. He saw this palm leaf and took it out and read it. He was astonished. Just at that time, actually, Kaviraj Goswami says, when Lord Chaitanya read that verse, his heart was filled with ecstatic bliss. Haridas Thakur, Rupa Goswami then returned to this place. He bowed down to Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya very sweetly, lovingly, and mildly slapped him. He said, Sri Rupa, how do you know the intimate, most confidential secrets of my heart? Lord Chaitanya took that verse and brought it to show to Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami. He asked Swarup Damodar Goswami, no one knows the intimacies of the secret of my heart except you. How is it that Rupa Goswami understands it? Swarup Damodar Goswami then revealed the truth to the whole world. Because you have bestowed your mercy upon Srila Rupa Goswami, therefore he understands the inner nature of your heart and your mission. Lord Chaitanya said, yes, that is correct. When I met Rupa Goswami at Prayag, I saw his humility and devotion. And when I embraced him there, I invested all my potencies in him. Another day, Lord Chaitanya came to the home of Haridas Thakur. He saw Rupa Goswami writing some books on palm leaves. He asked Rupa Goswami, please, what are you writing today? He picked up the palm leaf that Rupa Goswami had just written upon. When he saw it, he was so pleased. Never have I seen such handwriting as that of Rupa Goswami. Your handwriting is like rows of precious pearls. Then he read the verse. In great ecstasy, he read it out loud. I do not know how much nectar the name of Krishna has produced. When I chant the holy name of Krishna, I desire it. Krishna dances upon my tongue, and I desire many, many tongues. When that name enters into my ears, I desire millions and millions of ears. And when it enters into my heart, it conquers my consciousness and my senses become inert. When Haridas Thakur, the Namacharya, heard this verse, he began dancing in ecstasy, chanting Krishna's holy name. This sacred verse that we honor and worship within our hearts was composed here at Siddha Bakula. In fact, Lalita Madhava, Vidagdha Madhava, much of it was composed here at the Haridas Thakur's Bhajan Kutir. Lord Chaitanya was so pleased that the next morning, after visiting Jagannath's temple, he brought Ramananda Rai, Swarup Damodar Goswami, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and other great Vaishnavas, brought them all here. As he was bringing them here, he was praising the glories of Rupa Goswami as if he had five mouths. It was here that these great souls examined Rupa Goswami's transcendental devotion. Ramananda Rai began to ask him all sorts of very, very technical questions about his writings. It's a beautiful story contained within Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. The conclusion was that all of these most great intimate associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted that Srila Rupa Goswami is the person who has been empowered to establish Lord Chaitanya's teachings for all the world to come. This place is so sacred. This is where Rupa Goswami was blessed with his mission. The devotees were praising with their heart's greatest love the writings of Rupa Goswami. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, the greatest of all philosophers, understood the perfection of the philosophy of Rupa Goswami's writings. Haridas Thakur, the greatest authority of the chanting of the holy name, and all the others claimed the verses of Rupa Goswami glorifying Harinam, nowhere is anything so sweet to be found. Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodar, who were the greatest authorities of the intimate confidential rasas of Vrindavan, and the protection of the Siddhanta of the Vedas, they exclaimed the perfect authority of Rupa Goswami's writings. They all said to Lord Chaitanya, ask them all, how is it that Rupa Goswami is writing so perfect? And they all said, because you have bestowed mercy upon him. Ramananda Rai said in this place, similarly, when I was in Godavari River in Vidyanagar, when you were merciful upon me, you spoke so many treasures of truth through my mouth that I don't even know. Similarly, now you are speaking through the writings of Rupa Goswami for the whole world. After Ramananda Rai said, the writings of Rupa Goswami are not poetry. It is a continuous shower of sweet nectar. Srila Rupa Goswami ki. All the devotees embraced Rupa Goswami and departed. After the Dola Yatra, Rupa Goswami was sent from Siddha Bakula Haridas Thakur's residence to Vrindavan. Just about 10 days later, Sanatan Goswami came to live here. He and Haridas Thakur bowed down to each other and embraced. Where is Lord Chaitanya? How is Lord Chaitanya? At that very moment, Lord Chaitanya appeared. This is Sanatan Goswami. During his travels through the Jharikhanda forest, Sanatan Goswami had a terrible disease where his entire body was covered with itching sores, oozing with blood. It was here, at Haridas Thakur's home, that every single day Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would forcibly embrace Sanatan Goswami, and so much blood would smear on his beautiful golden form. Sanatan Goswami was always trying to escape. Every single day, Lord Chaitanya would come to spend time with Haridas and Sanatan here. They would discuss Krishna. He would embrace Sanatan. One day he said to Sanatan, "You have surrendered your body to me. You have no right to take your life. If I could attain Krishna by committing suicide, I would commit suicide millions of times a day. But one cannot attain Krishna by giving up one's body. One can only attain Krishna by serving Krishna in pure unalloyed devotion. Therefore, give up this nonsense idea you have." Then Lord Chaitanya turned to Haridas Thakur, and he said, "See the character of this man's consciousness. He has surrendered his life to me, therefore his life is my property, his body is my property. He wants to destroy another man's property." Because of the painful, abominable condition of Sanatan Goswami's body, Sanatan Goswami previously decided to put his life, his body, under the wheel of the chariot of Jagannath during Lord Chaitanya's kirtan at Rath Yatra, and thus end his life. But on this day, here at Haridas Thakur's home, Sanatan Goswami understood, Lord Chaitanya does not approve of my plans. So he lived for almost 1 year in this holy place. One day, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came here, and Sanatan Goswami said that, "I have spoken to Jagadananda Pandit, and he has advised that I should go to Vrindavan, because you are always embracing me and I am offending you. I came here to get purified, but I'm making offenses. Just the opposite is happening." Lord Chaitanya explained the nature of his love for his devotee. He said, "The oozing bloody substances coming out of your body is like the mixture of musk, sandalwood, camphor, and saffron. That is how I smell it." When a mother loves her child, she smells the stool of her child like sandalwood. Mothers throughout the world, this is the test of your love. "You are like my own children. How I love you. There can be no offense." A parent never accepts the offense of his little child. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came again to embrace Sanatan Goswami, who tried to run away. And here, in this very place, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced Sanatan Goswami. But this time when he embraced him, Sanatana Goswami's body became perfectly healthy, shining with great beauty. Haridas Thakur said, "This is your pastime, my lord. It was by your will that he got this disease in Jarikanda Forest. It was your will that for almost 1 year he remained here in this disease condition. And now it is by your will that you have cured him, embraced him by your causeless mercy." It was from Haridas Thakur's home that Lord Chaitanya sent Sanatana Goswami to join Rupa Goswami in Vrindavan. One day, Lord Chaitanya came here from Jagannath's temple. He was given by the priest Maha-Maha-Prasad of Lord Jagannath in the form of a toothbrush. The traditional way of making a toothbrush is to use the twig of a tree and to brush your teeth with that. In deity worship, we only use such nice tree twigs as toothbrushes. We do not use fibrous toothbrushes like many uncivilized humans in this day and age. Sometimes civilized, but using uncivilized plastic toothbrushes. For Jagannath, only all natural tree branches. I remember in the Brahmachari ashram at New Vrindavan, we were told that Vaishnavas never use toothbrushes. They only use twigs from trees. Now in India, usually you use neem twigs, because they have very medicinal effects on the gums and teeth. But in New Vrindavan there were no neem trees and no eucalyptus trees. So we would just take any twig from any tree. From oak trees, from apple trees, from locust trees. Huh? The devotees liked cherry trees the best. But they were far away. It was very rare to get. Sometimes we didn't even know what kind of tree. It had no taste, nothing. Sometimes it was all completely dried out and we would just scrape. And we thought that we were very Vedic. Every morning in the, because there was no, everyone would sleep on one floor. And there was only one place for everyone to bathe. There were 25 devotees, and it was ice cold water. And there was just one big bucket and one, something like a lota, but it was not exactly a lota. We didn't have such nice things as lotas. And you would just, everyone would be in the room, and one by one, everyone would come up and just start pouring it on your head, one after the other, after the other. It was so cold. Nobody wanted to do it very long anyway. Everyone would go, "Krishna, Krishna, Krishna!" We had no problems with waiting for people. And as far as toilets, there was no waiting, because the toilet was anywhere you look. That's farther than 50 meters from the temple. That was the only rule. You can pass stool and urine anywhere you want as long as it's beyond 100 meters of the temple. So the toilet was very spacious, especially in the winter. But you had to dig hole and bury it. If anyone found you didn't bury it, you would not get Mahaprasad for 1 week. The ultimate punishment for the brahmachari. Anyways, after performing our morning duties in the forest of New Vrindavan, we would come back to the bathhouse. Usually we would all wake up by 2 in the morning, and everyone would be standing around scraping their teeth with pieces of wood. They were just pieces of, sometimes it was just dry wood from a tree. Sometimes his mouths were bleeding. They just go on. New devotees, bhaktas, they would always bleed because they didn't know how to scrape their mouths with wood. They were brushing teeth. So the more senior devotee said, no, you'll get used to it. So Jagannath would be offered nice wood toothbrush, but good traditional wood toothbrush. And this was given as Mahaprasad, very special. So Lord Chaitanya came with that toothbrush of Jagannath to Siddha Bakula. Because Haridas Thakur was chanting his 300,000 names every single day under the sun. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took that toothbrush and pushed it into the ground. Immediately it grew into a beautiful, beautiful Bakula tree. Lord Chaitanya said, now under the shade of this divine Bakula tree, you chant your japa. Under this same tree that is here today, called Siddha Bakula, Haridas Thakur would chant 300,000 times the names of Krishna. Every day. One day, Govinda came to this place. Haridas Thakur was laying on his back chanting very slowly. Govinda said, I have brought the prasad of Lord Jagannath for you. Haridas said, I am in a diseased condition. I have not yet finished my rounds. Therefore, I cannot take any prasad. But at the same time, Jagannath's prasad is none different than Jagannath. So I must respect it. Haridas Thakur bowed down and offered prayers to the prasad with great devotion and took one morsel. When Lord Chaitanya heard this, the next day he came. He asked Haridas Thakur, are you well? Haridas Thakur said, my body is well, but spiritually my mind is in a diseased condition because I cannot complete my quota of chanting 300,000 names every day. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Srila Haridas Thakur, now you are a very old, old man. There is no need for you to chant such a strict vow of so many mantras a day. You have already fulfilled the purpose of your incarnation. You have established the congregational chanting all over the world. The whole world will chant the holy name by your influence. Now you should reduce the number of rounds that you chant each day. Haridas Thakur spoke his heart. My Lord, in my heart I have a great desire that I wish you fulfilled. This desire has been within me for a long time. I fear that very soon you will leave this world. I do not want to be here and have to see the final chapter of your earthly pastimes. Please grant this one desire. Let me place your lotus feet upon my heart. Let my eyes behold the beauty of your moonlight face. And with my mouth chanting your holy name, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, let this body fall before you. Lord Chaitanya said to Haridas Thakur that you are my life and soul. My joy of being within this world is to associate with you. Why do you want to leave me? Haridas said, please do not create an illusion, my Lord. I am insignificant. Although I am the most fallen and abominable, out of your causeless mercy, inconceivably, you had Advaitacharya give me the remnants of the Shraddha. You have exalted me in such a way in this world, but I am most fallen. If one insignificant insect dies, what is the loss to this world, my Lord? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu assured Haridas Thakur that he would fulfill his desire. Then he left. The next day, in the morning, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought his loving associates to the house of Haridas Thakur. As he was approaching with Ramananda Rai, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, all these great souls, Lord Chaitanya was explaining to them the glories of Haridas Thakur. When they came, Lord Chaitanya asked Haridas, "How are you?" Haridas replied, "Whatever mercy you show me." Then Lord Chaitanya told the devotees to begin kirtan. Devotees began to sing, and Lord Chaitanya induced them all to dance. Srila Vrakreshwar Pandit was dancing in great, great love. As the kirtan was going on, Lord Chaitanya began to glorify Haridas Thakur as if he had five mouths.
Haridas Thakur took the dust from the lotus feet of each and every devotee upon his head. Then he took the feet of Lord Chaitanya in his hands and placed it upon his heart. His eyes, like beautiful bumblebees staring at the lotus face of Sri Gauranga. His lips repeating with pure unalloyed devotion again and again, "Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya." It was in this most auspicious environment that Srila Haridas Thakur gave up his life by his own free will. The devotees immediately remembered how Bhishmadev left his life by his own sweet will in the presence of Lord Krishna at Kurukshetra. Lord Chaitanya, completely mad with the ecstasy of love for this devotee, in this very place that we are sitting, in this courtyard, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lifted the dead body of Haridas Thakur into his arms, began to dance. How he danced in ecstatic love, tears flowing from his eyes, with Haridas Thakur's body within his arms. He danced throughout this courtyard. Through this wonderful pastime, Lord Chaitanya revealed to the world the love that he has for his devotee. Swaru Damodar Goswami stopped Lord Chaitanya. He said, "It is time to proceed with the proper arrangements for his funeral." They created a beautiful airship-shaped palanquin to bring on procession the body of Haridas to the sea. Lord Chaitanya led the procession, dancing in ecstasy. The Vrakreshwar Pandit was just behind him, dancing very beautifully. And all the devotees, in love of separation of Haridas Thakur, were loudly chanting the holy name.
When they came to the sea, Lord Chaitanya, with his own body, bathed the body of Srila Haridas Thakur. His own hands performing abhishek for his devotee. Devotees started drinking the water from the sea that came from the body of Haridas Thakur. They weren't thinking, "This is salty water." They were thinking, "This is the Mahaprasad Charanamrita of Haridas Thakur." Lord Chaitanya said, "From this day on, I declare, because this sea has bathed the body of Srila Haridas Thakur, now this sea has become a great place of pilgrimage." Then they placed Haridas Thakur's body within the hole in the sand that was made. Lord Chaitanya, with his own beautiful, golden, loving hands, he put the sand on Haridasa's body. After placing Jagannath's Mahaprasad upon him, they wrote Krishna's names in sandalwood of Jagannath. They put food prasad, cloth prasad, garland prasad on the body of Jagannath Haridas. Then Lord Chaitanya and his devotees buried the body, constructed a platform. They all circumambulated the body of Haridas Thakur, then they bathed in the sea. Such a joyful occasion it was for all of them to bathe in the sea together. When Lord Chaitanya came back to Singhadwaram, he began begging with his own cloth in honor of Srila Haridas Thakur. We are having a feast. Please give charity, I beg of you. The shopkeepers were bringing baskets after baskets of prasad of Jagannath. Swarup Damodar asked Lord Chaitanya to rest, and he took this service, asking each shopkeeper, just give 2 palmfuls of each basket. As all the devotees and guests were sitting in lines, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally started to serve the devotees. But his hand held no less than what many people could eat. Swarup Damodar Goswami said, until you eat, no one will take prasad. As Lord Chaitanya was taking the remnants of Haridas Thakur's feast on his disappearance day, he was instructing the servers to give more and more and more to all of the devotees. Give them more, he called out again and again, until all the devotees were filled to their necks with Jagannath's prasad. After Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu washed his mouth and his hands, he pronounced a great benediction. Anyone who has seen or participated in this great festival of Haridas Thakur will very soon achieve Krishna's mercy and achieve love for him. Haridas Thakur was the crown jewel of the universe. But now that crown jewel has been taken away from us. By the mercy of Krishna, I have been given the association of Haridas Thakur. But now by that same mercy, his association has been taken away. He has come to this world and established a Yuga Dharma. Simply by chanting the holy names of Krishna sincerely, one can cleanse all the anartas from one's heart and achieve pure, unadulterated love of Krishna. Simply by chanting the holy name purely, one can achieve the ultimate destination of residence in the eternal abode of Goloka Vrindavan. Trinadapi sunichena tadorapi sunishtuna manina manadena kirtanistadi. This is the process of chanting the holy name purely. Srila Haridas Thakur was the very embodiment of Trinadapi sunichena. He was the very embodiment of the pure chanting of the holy name. He was the personification of Lord Chaitanya's mercy by compassionately being willing to accept any difficulty to give others Krishna consciousness. Sanatan Goswami said of Haridas Thakur, some people speak very nicely, but they do not behave properly. Some people behave very nicely, but they cannot speak properly. But you simultaneously speak perfectly and behave perfectly. Therefore, you are fit to deliver the whole world to Krishna consciousness. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told all of the devotees, now everyone loudly chant, Srila Haridas Thakur Ki! Srila Haridas Thakur Ki! Srila Haridas Thakur Ki! Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu Ki! Shri Siddha Bakula Ki! Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Ki! Shri Jagannath Puri Dham Ki! Shri Prabhupada Ki! Dr. Brinda Ki! Thank you very much. This time, for the pleasure of all the devotees, I am going to end my lecture. knowing that you are all in great separation from the moment that my long talk ends, Krishna will fulfill your desire. Actually, I really feel ashamed that I'm talking so much during this yatra. It's so hot, and I'm making you sit so long, for so many hours, for so many days. I feel like I'm in the role of a Yamaduta, torturing all of you. Please, I beg forgiveness. Perhaps I will not talk so much after this. After having the wonderful darshan of Haridas Thakur Samadhi, we will all have the opportunity to bathe in the sea. The sacred place that Lord Chaitanya made holy. Vrindavan Das Thakur explains in Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat that when Lord Chaitanya was residing in Puri, bathing in the sea every day, Mother Ganga was so eager to participate in this pastime that from Gangotri she very swiftly flows down to the sea just to give her waters to help bathe Lord Chaitanya. So the sea is a great holy place. For 18 years, Lord Chaitanya bathed in the sea every single day. We were speaking last night some precautionary measures. Sometimes the sea is in a mood to purify us with extra special mercy in the form of very powerful waves. So please be careful, because the nature of waves is first they push you back, but before they come to push you back, first they pull you in. Very transcendental. It's actually the way Maya works. First she sucks you in, then she smashes you. First she irresistibly pulls you, and then she crushes you. Very well. That's the way the ocean of material existence works. But this ocean does the same thing. It pulls you in and then crushes. But the difference is, because Lord Chaitanya bathed, its pulling and crushing is very purifying. However, as Lord Chaitanya told Sanatana Goswami, your body is his property. So be careful. Don't be afraid, just be careful. Stay close to the shore, and everyone please watch each other. There's three categories of devotees. One are good swimmers, one do not know swimming at all, and one know little swimming. This is different than Kanishtha Adhikari, Madhya Adhikari, Uttam Adhikari. Different type of division. So those who know swimming good, there's no problem. Those who know swimming at all, they will be very afraid to go close. But those who know little swimming, they are in a dangerous position. Please be careful. At this time we will begin Harinam Sankirtan.